Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hour of the Time with your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona. Again, January 2010 with the Hour of the Time here on our website, hourofthetime.com. Now, tonight, again, as always, be prepared to take notes. We're going to continue on with our caching series tonight, part three in this set. And some more music contributed by listeners from the audience, viewers, readers, etc. during our musical breaks. But first, of course, that cursory information that we're all so fond of repeating every night. The website, hourofthetime.com. That is hourofthetime.com. And if you'd like to write the Hour of the Time here, it is Hour of the Time or Hot, H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona 85925. The studio number in Eager, 928-333-2942. That is 928-333-2942, and the studios in Canada, 613-733-4324. Again, in Canada, 613-733-4324. Now, if you'd like to write me via email to share research, offer hints and tips, ask questions, send hate mail, gripe, or actually do something productive and send in input for future broadcasts, you may do so by writing hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Again, my personal email is hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that after the last two Fridays' broadcast, you have gone around looking, and I hope the information is giving you a better eye, if you will, to look and find caching sites. The simple fact is that as the threat of terrorists, foreign and domestic, that we took, millions of us took oaths to protect and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, as society's infrastructure breaks down more and more, caching is not just a tool of the local paranoid anymore. It is a necessary asset, ladies and gentlemen. So that's why we're doing this series. And you've had two different weekends now, the way I have split up the series on purpose, to start looking around. See what your normal routine is, what's out of your routine, looking for sites. We've already covered planning and the seven basic principles, long-term ammunition storage. Now, tonight, we'll be getting into site selection and preparation in this part three. And ladies and gentlemen, this will encompass medical supplies, electronics, submersion, humidity, etc. Now, using, during the breaks, music, again this evening, contributed from audience, viewers, listeners, readers. this first couple tracks tonight that we'll be using on the air were sent to me by two gentlemen. Brian Bro, I guess is his last name. I will probably totally botch all this information. It's one of those E-A-U-X type endings. And the first song is Another Alternative. Now, there's band, him and Kevin Brown, who have had correspondence with me, Brian and Kevin. This first song of theirs this evening, Another Alternative, has some interesting mixing going on. And in fact, their band Nag Panjami, or Jammy, or whatever, excuse me guys if you're listening and I just insulted you. Again, the information, Kevin Brown and Brian Bro. The publishers would be Boiling Rain Publishing, Gulf Central Coast Publishing. The band was Nag Panjami, I guess. Anyway, I'll do it military-wise. November, Oscar, Golf, Papa, Oscar, November, Juliet, Alpha, Mike, India. There you go. And this first one we're going to use this evening, while you get something to eat or drink and get ready to get back and get to taking notes, is Another Alternative. Now, again, this one has the mixing in it, and in fact, if someone tells me what I was interested in hearing it, it was funny when I first played it. If you guys can tell me, someone in the audience, excluding band members, etc., what broadcast might this be from, I will give you the whole caching series in MP3 on one disc, of course, in MP3 format for free. Just... if you win, I'll let you know and you send me your address in the email. Okay, so just email me if you know what broadcast of the hour of the time some of this information is from. Now, they write that it was really a songwriter's license to stick themselves in an underground host's shoes, if you will, and tell the audience that they are essentially a bunch of spoiled children. They use the word kids, but... had they listened more, kids is quite offensive, so I'll use children. Most people don't give birth to baby goats. And they encouraged and stressed that it would benefit the audience to listen up and join the fight. Now, Brian listened to the Hour of the Time constantly in the studios as they worked and recorded, and it just kind of all fit together, as they put it. The electricity was there, etc. Now, on another track this evening, the next one, Pocket Full of Pennies, as in the second one tonight, it was written for a legendary, as they put it, Texas guitar player, John X. Reed, who played on many of the recordings, including this one. And they even say that he was an Applejack supporter, but he lets this really bring himself down a lot. Well, that's to be expected when you listen to somebody who strives to make their MO, modus operandi, fear-mongering. So, anyway, during this break, be sure to get your tablets, pens, pencils, paper, what have you, ready and secure to take notes tonight, part 3 in our caching series, more specifically in this episode, site selection and preparation of packaging.
What we're capable of with no restraints. Yes. Other than restraint of never hurting the person or property of any other citizen.
I think that speaks well to the question before about the possible eventuality of a time harm. And if we could be awfully, so to speak,
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was another alternative by Arpanjami or whatever, and I apologize for really screwing that band name up, I imagine. Now, ladies and gentlemen, although this is not my, those of you who know me, my normal taste or color of music that I listen to, I enjoy it. I did enjoy it when I first heard it. I like it now. It's in my little MP3 library on my computer. And what makes it so good, in my opinion, is not just the message, but the thought behind it, the action. See, unlike most of the sheeple out there, they didn't sit on their ass and just constantly whine or beg for freebie handouts. They got up and did something. Just like Cooper Hill, just like the Cambridge Acoustical Guitar Symphonic Mix, or whatever the band name is, Woodsy. Just like Max, just like Desperado, Lucid, and so many others. Chef Hop, Chef Hip Hop, if you will, another one. And that's what makes the Hour of the Time audience special, because we are solution-oriented and action-oriented. Get out, get off your ass, and do something. Get rid of that disease that most of America has, or most of the world, actually, rectal cranial inversion, and do something. The general tune, let's say in this example, music, doesn't have to appeal to me as far as my musical ear to appreciate it because of the thought. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I was also questioned this last weekend about why would I be doing something so horrific as a caching series? Well, piss on you. You go out and come around, let's say, my area with your handout and find out what happens. Okay? Because you chose to not have any preparations made. The simple fact is, as freedoms are attacked and eroded more and more in our constitutional republic, caching becomes a necessity. Like I said, no longer a tool of the random paranoid, as he would be labeled, down the street. Maybe because of the weak infrastructure in this country and the simple fact of lackadaisical maintenance. You live in an area that not only is under threats against our freedoms and our constitution from domestic enemies, but maybe you just live in an area that every February, let's say, ice storms take out the power for 2 damn weeks. Or flooding makes you have to move out for a week. Or tornadoes come through every year. Or there's high probabilities, or often happens, earthquakes or fires. And you always have to move away. So, caching, again, is a beneficial tool. Because when you are responsible, ladies and gentlemen, for you, your family, because that's where it starts, right there at home, your own well-being and safety and advancement and knowledge and learning and skills, then to your communities and churches and militias, then to your counties and states. Forget the Fed. Who cares about them? If we were following the Constitution, and if you need references, listen to my History of Property Rights series, Federal Jurisdiction series, on and on and on. If we were following the Constitution, they would be put back in their cage, and their decisions would be all but meaningless. So, ladies and gentlemen, with that, don't forget the Hour of the Time is also listener-supported. And if you need to get or become more educated in these facts, go to our website, hourofthetime.com, go to the shopping cart, the Hot Shop, and look at many of the MP3 bundles, DVD presentations, literature, etc. We have a plethora of topics covered to help you, because we are solution-oriented, not fear-mongering. We can't each do everything, but we can each do something, ladies and gentlemen. And why just survive when you can thrive? And that also brings up, don't forget about the EPA conference in April. Look into it. The Pennsylvania conference. Now, Poker Face contacted me about wanting to do something around the PA conference. I'm not really hip on that because 2 or 3 years back, some publicist or media specialist, they call themselves sometimes, contacted me for them. And when I said, well, we're not just going to blindly have them on the broadcast to pimp their product, you need to send some samples, give me an idea of their thoughts and beliefs, I was told that no, I would get no samples to use on there, even though it would only be promoting them with credits and everything, that they would just come on because they knew what they wanted to say already. Well, I told them to pound sand, so I doubt they're going to be playing at the PA conference. I didn't even bother with this last message because of what occurred. That was about 3 years back. Anybody who runs their outfit like that, I don't have much use for. So the PA conference, another way to learn some wonderful skills. Again, go to the website, hourofthetime.com, and on the front page is the link to all the information, schedule, dates, times, etc. Now, we ended the last episode in this series on submersion. Now, on the rare maritime resupply, where it's impossible to deliver supplies directly to a reception committee, caching supplies offshore, either in a lake or the ocean, could be preferable to sending a landing party onshore on some other bank that isn't secure, for instance, to bury and recover a cache. But it is a very hard method. We'll cover it in more detail as the series progresses, even down to buoyancy rates and how much weight you need to offset that. That's a very intensive packaging, etc. Now, tonight, selection of the site. You have to make the most careful estimates of future operational conditions as possible. But it still will not absolutely ensure that your cache will be accessible when it is needed. But it gives you a huge head start. And essentially, site selection can be met when 3 questions are answered. Okay? So let's go into some of the criteria. Can the site be located by simple instructions that are unmistakably clear to someone who has never visited the location? A site, for instance, may be ideal in every respect. But if it has no distinct permanent landmarks within a readily measurable distance, it has to be ruled out. Are there at least 2 secure routes to and from the site? Because both the primary and alternate routes should provide natural concealment so that the emplacement party and the recovery party or unit can visit the site without being seen by anyone normally in the vicinity. Remember, not just emplacement and recovery, ladies and gentlemen, but also inventory, random checking, scheduled checking for condition. An alternative escape route offers hope of avoiding detection and recovered at the chosen site in all seasons. Does that happen? Snow and frozen ground, for instance, create special problems. Snow leaves one hell of a trail. That's one of its hazards. And unless it's blowing right now, hardcore, right behind your tracks, You might as well say it's impossible to erase your trail in the snow. Now, planters should also consider, will seasonal changes in foliage leave the site dangerously exposed? Your ingress and egress routes, inspection routes, alternative escape routes, your burial site, etc. Now, finding a cache site can often be difficult, but usually a thorough systematic survey of the general area designated for the cache is required. The survey can best be done oftentimes with a very large-scale map of the area, the best that you can get available. And then by scrutinizing the map and the details and the features, the planner, you, can determine whether a particular sector must be ruled out because of its nearness to, for instance, factories, homes, busy thoroughfares, probable military targets in wartime, etc. A good military-type map will show positive features in the topography as well as your quadrangle maps. Just like you learn to read at the hot conferences and use intersections, resections, etc. Proximity to adequate roads or trails, natural concealment, for instance, surrounding woods and groves, adequate drainage. A good map, like a topographical quadrangle map or a military map, will show natural and man-made features in the landscape. The easiest way is just get a quadrangle map from the USGS service, United States Geological Service, the maps that are detailed, and you can get them through the Forest Service, national parks, USGS websites, sporting goods shops, etc. These good maps provide you with the indispensable reference points, ladies and gentlemen, for locating a cache site. Confluences of streams, dams and waterfalls, road junctions, distance markers, villages, bridges, churches, cemeteries, etc. Now, a map survey will generally show the location of several promising sites, now that you've done that, within the general area designated. However, to pinpoint and select the best site, a well-qualified observer must examine each site firsthand. Ladies and gentlemen, although you may not be experts or as well-qualified as a member of the U.S. Special Forces, using these military manuals of mine on the broadcast here gives you a leg up on 99.9% of the population. So this series will help you be a well-qualified observer. Now, whoever examines the site, if you're talking a party amongst just you and your family, maybe you and a couple friends, band members, what have you, church, militia, co-workers, I don't care. I don't want to know, in fact. If you let me know, you're dumb. I already told you, OPSEC, operational security. Whoever examines the site should carry adequate maps, compass, drawing pad for making other sketch maps or tracings, some form of measuring. Remember, forget GPS. I went into all that in the last broadcast in this series. A piece of rope or twine, could be small, parachute cord even. A roll of that tied in knots at some regular intervals can be used for measuring. Every 10 feet, you tied a knot in it. Then when you string it out, you count the little knots, eyeball the middle of two knots, boom, you got it. Now, there is a caveat with using some sort of client, you know, twine or cloth, is that on your very detailed emplacement measurements, on this site survey, it's okay, but on the very detailed emplacement measurements, there's a caveat with this because moisture in it, dragging around wet grass and foliage, maybe the weather at the time, what have you. Maybe you just decide to dive across the stream and swim across it on the way to the site. Can cause it to shrink and stretch, adjusting the measurement. But for the initial survey, it is very usable. You might want to carry a probing rod to probe prospective burial sites. It could be in the guise of a walking stick, for instance. An old ski pole with the little bottom flange knocked off that makes it kind of float on top of the snow. So you have a probe, piece of rebar, I don't care. Make it look like a walking stick somehow. With your little day pack and some trail mix and a canteen and some maps and drawing board. And kind of don't wash for about a week. Have some We Are Change t-shirt on or something. You'll look like some kind of just socialist greenie out on a hike and blend right in case you do cross somebody looking and scouting. Now, you will seldom complete a field survey without being noticed by local residents. So your action and cover is of great importance, like I just told you. Can you pose as a tourist beside some filthy greenie? A newcomer for some reason. So you're just exploring the area. Whatever. Be ready to make casual conversation if you come across somebody. Because if they're a local that maybe hikes around that area all the time, you can use this per the PsyOps Tactics Survival and Minuteman series for a little intelligence gathering. You meet them on the trail, seem pretty nice. They say hello, you say hello, of course. And you might discover in a brief conversation that them, as well as maybe 20, 30 people a day, walk along this particular path. So now you know the traffic. Maybe you know about some local activities because you're curious about these because you're just visiting or new to the area. Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. You have to have a natural explanation, if you will, for your exploration activity in this area. Maybe somebody in your party is not a local resident. That would be quite helpful. But you may have to and probably have to develop this over an extended period before you make the actual reconnaissance. So, if you're chosen amongst your little group, family member, church member, what have you, is a local resident known in the area, you can't suddenly take up hunting, overnight fishing, or wildlife photography without arousing interest and even suspicion. And with AmeriCorps and all the other little rats out there under the guise of protecting the homeland, you will probably be ratted off by somebody who thinks it's their business to get in your business and know everything that's going on and tell the so-called proper authorities, when really it's your right. You can do what you want, ladies and gentlemen. If you're not hurting anybody or their property. So you might have to build up the reputation if your party are all known local residents. Slowly make it known over a period of weeks that you're getting into hiking and nature photography. Now, even though you could be an overweight person that only did wedding videography, and you're known as maybe the local gadget techie geek, that would, for instance, easily move into the realm of, well, I'm getting into outdoor photography as well. I have the equipment. I need to get out and get a little more exercise. I work in an office all day as a clerk at some building. I just need to start walking more and more. Be imaginative, ladies and gentlemen. Now, after this next musical break, we're going to cover reference points. Very, very important. I told you the story in the previous broadcast in this series about my friend who cached some very good stuff and didn't use the best of reference points. And when a forest fire went through the area, his reference points went up in smoke. And he no longer had reference points. And I know after 3 years he never found anything. and was going to have to go into much more labor-intensive means with metal detectors, etc. So this next musical break, Pocket Full of Pennies, again, from Kevin and Brian. Hetnog Pond Jammy, or Jammy, this evening. And after their musical contributions, later on in the broadcast, just a good song from one of my favorites. And some more tunes from the audience, like Max and Woodsy, etc. So here you go. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Goodbye, friend. Goodbye, girl. Goodbye, brother. Goodbye, world. I'm leaving today. You never know I'm gone. Got a pocket full of pennies. Brand new song. Seen my days, good times and sorrow. Finding my way, my own tomorrow. But tomorrow's not ours. You'll never know I'm gone. Got a pocket full of pennies, a brand new song. I'll sit up straight and still sing my songs. Try to do more right than I'm doing wrong. But I'm really not here. You'll never know I'm gone. Got a pocket full of pennies, a brand new song. My mind till I got no more, till I'm hanging at ease above their killing floor. But they never got me, never knew I was gone. Got a pocket full of pennies, brand new song. I've seen a world beyond the stars. Ain't it no Bible carved in Mars? It's in your eyes. Ain't no way I'm wrong. Got a pocket full of pennies, a brand new song. I'll fight the fight, I'll stand my ground. The shell of me makes a thunderous sound. I got love to give, I got hope to pass along. I got a pocket full of pennies, a brand new song. Maybe someday I can step back down. Until that day I'm just sawing around. But I'm gone for now. You never know what I've done. Got a pocket full of pennies, a brand new song. Goodbye, Mom. Goodbye, Pa. Coming for dinner, we'll start the weather and all. You'll see me there just as the day is long. With a pocket full of pennies, a brand new song. With a pocket full of pennies, a brand new song. With a pocket full of pennies, a brand new song.
Again, the hour of the time here with your host, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona, January 2010, part three in our series on caching tonight, site selection and preparation, site surveying, taking notes, I hope, ladies and gentlemen. And that first song, another alternative, if somebody out there besides the band can tell me what broadcast was intermixed in there. I'll give you the whole caching series in MP3 format on one disc for free. Now, ladies and gentlemen, again, if you'd like to contact us, and don't forget we're a listener supported. Your donations for MP3 sets, PDF libraries, DVD presentations is how we continue and expand our base of operations to save and restore our constitutional republic and all our freedoms, and hopefully for all peoples, all of that will never be possible. Looking at the history of man, at least we can affect the largest amount as possible with your support. The website, hourofthetime.com. My personal email address, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. The studio number in Eager, 928-333-2942. In Canada, 613-733-4324. And again, my personal email, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now on to reference points, ladies and gentlemen. Reference points, another section, a topical heading, if you will, for your notes. When you find, as the observer, some suitable caching sites and narrow it down to one, you must prepare a simple and unmistakable sheet of instructions for locating the reference points. These instructions must identify the general area, the names of general recognizable places, towns, counties, forests, structures, and an immediate reference point. Any durable landmark that is identified by its title or simple description could be an immediate reference point. Now this is immediate reference point, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to have a few terms. An example of that could be the only Catholic church in a certain village, the only tire factory at the edge of a certain town in a certain county, the only bridge on a named road between two villages. You get the hint. Now you must also include, ladies and gentlemen, your detailed instructions as the observer and site surveyor. The FRP, Foxtrot, Romeo, Papa, final reference point. And it must meet four requirements, ladies and gentlemen. Four requirements. One, it must be identifiable, including at least one feature that can be used as a precise reference point. Two, it must be an object that will remain fixed as long as the cache may be used. There was where my friend made his mistake, using some giant oaks in a forest subject to fires. Three, it must be near enough to the cache to pinpoint the exact location of the cache by precise linear measurements from the final point to the cache. Remember the FRP, the final reference point. It should be related to the immediate reference point by a single route description, which precedes from it, the immediate reference point, to the final reference point. 4 points there, ladies and gentlemen. Now, your route description should be reduced to the minimum essential. Because somebody's going to have to memorize this and use it under times of great stress and strain. Or even for mundane inspections. And if it's incredibly difficult or long, your inspection that's supposed to occur bi-monthly, what have you, may not occur because it's just too much trouble for the individual. So, the ideal solution, ladies and gentlemen, is to combine the location of the cache by combining the immediate reference point and the FRP into one landmark, readily identifiable, but sufficiently secluded. Some examples, if they're available, that are sometimes ideal reference points. Small, unfrequented bridges and dams, boundary markers, mile markers, culverts along unfrequented roads, a geodetic survey marker, for instance, a section or township or range section marker. Battle monuments, wayside shrines, you've seen them. Places where there's a lot of wrecks or whatever, and there's just a little prayer thing there. Now, if such reference points are not available at an otherwise suitable, so far, caching site, natural or man-made objects also serve as FRPs. Distinct rocks, posts for power or telephone lines, intersections and stone fences or hedgerows, gravestones in an isolated cemetery. You get the hint, ladies and gentlemen. Now next, we're going to cover pinpointing techniques. Your recovery instructions must identify the exact location of the cache. Your instructions, again, must relate the description of the point where it's placed in terms that relate to the FRP. When the concealment method is used, the cache is ordinarily placed inside the FRP, so it is pinpointed, hence, by the precise description of the FRP. Underneath the shrine, little altar inside of it, what have you. A submerged cache is usually pinpointed by describing exactly how the moorings are attached to the FRP. And with a buried cache, we'll cover many techniques which could be used. For instance, placing the cache directly beside the FRP is one of the simplest methods, because then pinpointing it is reduced to simply specifying the precise reference point, the FRP, and some easily measurable distance, 5 feet to the east. Sighting the cache by projection. Now this could be used if the FRP has a long flat side enough to permit precise sighting by projecting a line along the side of the object. And then you simply, the burial party, places the cache a measured distance along that sighted line. It can also be used if there's two precise FRPs that are available by simply projecting a line between the two objects. Either method you choose, ladies and gentlemen, the instructions, though, must include, for finding the cache, the approximate direction from the FRP. Now, as close to the FRPs, either between the sighting line on a long, flat side of a hedgerow, a very definite row of boulders, a long, abandoned railway line or track. As the line increases, so do the sighting errors. So place the cache, if your two objects are a mile apart, close to one of the points. Within reason, keeping in mind security, safety, preservation, concealment. But a good general rule is don't go beyond 50 yards with your sighting line. Now, you can also place the cache at a measured intersection of lines. If you have two FRPs that are available within several paces, you can project a line out from each one, and that would be called an intersection and resection in orienteering work, ladies and gentlemen. In other words, if you found two suitable points that are good, the site selection pays off and checks out, and these two points are, oh, let's say 40 yards or so apart, and I project a line from one at, oh, let's say 290 degrees for 50 yards, and the other one, I project out a point, oh, let's say 170 degrees at 40 yards, where they intersect, that you can pace off, or your recovery team will have a way to measure, knotted lines, steel tapes, whatever, knowing their pace, which you should all know. That's a good way. It's intersection and resection, ladies and gentlemen, a good way to do it. A good rule of thumb for for your two distances, your intersection and resection, is to use a proportional scale, ladies and gentlemen. The distance between the two points, hopefully you were able to keep it below 50 yards, the two angles you shoot out from each point that intersect somewhere out there, shouldn't exceed twice the base, that point between the two. Twice the base length should not be exceeded by your two angle measurements. You may want to even have two different methods of measuring. A dry and kept dry measuring rope with knots tied in it, and knowing your pace. You should have a compass anyway, always, with your gear. So there's your azimuth. Oftentimes it is wise, because a compass could possibly get broken on the way there by your recovery or inspection party or yourself, try to use cardinal points. Your north, south, east, west, northeast, southeast, northwest, southwest, north, northeast, things like that, and the bearing. It is, for instance, from the Catholic shrine at the side of Road 22 at mile marker 13, it is northeast 45 degrees at 45 meters. There you go. All facets were involved in that one quick description. See how easy that is to memorize, ladies and gentlemen? Now, we're going to go to another quick musical break. I want to get a drink of water here, some coffee. We're going to get on to measuring distances and marking techniques now that you've established and done your site survey and site selection for where your cache will be emplaced.
Left to do but run, 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 let's run.
and gentlemen. Jim, having been a researcher into the mystery schools throughout his young life, someone tell me what parable or historic part of mystery school symbology he was referencing in that song. Most people let it go right over their head. What was he referencing? You'll get the full caching series on MP3 format and one disc for free. Email me the answer at hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, measuring distances. Obviously, you may have to actually measure the distance first to the caching point now that you're in your survey and your planning mode and your site selection first. Why is that? Because you want to stick to whole numbers and a unit familiar to the area. Now, why I say that is because listeners in England, well, hell, they don't count. Limeys. Just kidding, Sam. But maybe Africa, where I get correspondence from in the email, or Australia or Canada. Me telling you to measure it out in inches and feet would be kind of ignorant. So use something that is proper for where the site is, yards, meters, what have you. Keep it even. So you may have to actually adjust your burial site, your caching point, by a foot here or there. That way you can keep it even. Remember your brief instructions, the example I gave you a minute ago. 17 yards, not 17.7 yards. So take your measurements and sighting lines first, ladies and gentlemen, to make sure that your burial site, before you go disturbing the ground and the soil, is an even number. Keep in mind also that you want the site, the distance, to be a straight line from the FRP to the burial or cachement site. So if you're over very rolly, uneven ground, that adds distance. If you were just to sit there with the wheel and roll up and down or walk up and down without knowing your pace very accurately. So that's why something like a rope method, kept dry, of course, or a steel measuring tape, etc., would be very useful because it could be pulled taut from the FRP to the actual site where the cache is. It could be pulled taut a straight line, and it won't be a measurement of the up and down roly-poly landscape. So you're going to want to have a line long enough to measure the point, yet when you pull it taut, don't break it. Now, marking techniques. During the reconnaissance, your whole operation of emplacement later can be simplified if it is marked. If a night burial is planned, the point of emplacement may have to be marked during a daylight reconnaissance. This method should be used whenever it's possible. The marker must be an object that's easily recognizable by the emplacement party, but that's meaningless to an unwitting observer. So, the gray rock, amongst other rocks, in the meadow, 45 yards northeast from the FRP, in the meadow that was right past Bridge Hobley Blope on Road 22. A lot of people may hike the area. Maybe there's other nature photographers, what have you. It's just a rock amongst other rocks to them. You get the hint. A small rock or branch, of course, would also work. The Indians used it, the American Indians. Quite often, they're called trailblazers, trail markers, ducks, etc. The mountain men, Lewis and Clark, the Western Expansion, Manifest Destiny, use markers like this. They work quite well, been used in battle for centuries. And during your personal reconnaissance as the planner and site selector, you must not only pinpoint the cache site, gather any incidental information required for planning the emplacement operation. It is especially important to determine the best route to the site and at least one alternate route. Any security hazards along these routes and any information that can be used to overcome these hazards. For instance, Mr. Old Man Grumpy Greeny Socialist, out smelling the flowers, every day walks at 9 a.m. here, and he's real nosy. So you've just told him a potential hazard and when it is there and how to avoid it. Don't be there at 9 a.m. while he's smelling the flowers. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that'll end tonight's part 3 in the caching series here at the Hour of the Time with your host, Doyle Shamley, the website hourofthetime.com, and my personal email address, hourofthetime@hotmail.com, and I hope everyone has a safe, a studious evening, and be sure to tune in every evening to the Hour of the Time.